Hello everybody and welcome to this week's recording of the Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper. We are reading articles from the Wallingford Herald, published on Wednesday, September the 9th, 2026. Three readers this evening are Pat and Alec Hayton, Sue White and copyist Peter Orton, and the producers myself, Lawrence.
Hello, this is Alec. New campaign is urging residents to waste less. A new campaign is encouraging people in the county to waste less, keep spaces clean, and create cleaner, better places. The month-long scheme running throughout September is being led by South Oxfordshire and the Vale of Whitehorse District Councils. It aims to show how small changes at home can help protect the environment, reduce waste and save money. Councillor Sue Cooper, Cabinet Member for the Environment at SODC, said most of us want to reduce waste, but it's easy to think that this makes a difference, meaning making huge changes. The truth is that small everyday actions build up. Whether it's repairing something instead of replacing it, borrowing an item you'll only use once, or planning meals to reduce food waste, everyone can play a part. This campaign is about making those choices simple, practical, and achievable for busy families. Most councils will share simple tips, local ideas, and easy swaps that families can try at home throughout the month. This will include borrowing instead of buying, making most of leftovers and choosing products with less packaging. The council also say every item not thrown away helps conserve resources, cuts waste, and keeps neighbourhoods cleaner. The campaign will also spotlight local refill shops, libraries of things, community litter picking groups, and practical recycling advice. Councillor Robert Clegg, the Cabinet Member for Environmental Services at the Whitehorse Council, said looking after the environment doesn't have to mean taking on making big changes overnight. Often it's the small things we do every day that have the biggest impact. Whether it's remembering a reusable water bottle, checking the fridge before going shopping, or choosing to repair something instead of replacing it. Every small action makes a difference. This campaign is about showing that reducing weight can be simple, affordable, and something the whole family can get involved in. The campaign launches with five easy actions. Buy only what you need. Reuse items whenever you can. Repair, donate or share unwanted items. Choose products with less packaging and save leftovers for another meal. People can follow the council's social media channels throughout September for tips, ideas and inspiration. More information is available on the Waste Less, Clean Spaces, Better Places page of SODC website and the Vale of Whitehorse website. Residents can also visit the council's waste team at upcoming town markets, including Abingdon on September the 7th, Didcot on September the 12th, Wantage on September the 16th, and Wallingford on September the 25th from 9 in the morning till 2.
Hello, this is Pat. Solar farm project sold to Chinese. A major Oxfordshire solar farm in the making was sold to the Chinese. Chint Solar bought the 49,000.9 megawatt Burcott Energy Park in South Oxfordshire from the developer Ethical Power. The firm is Chinese owned and is the European renewable arm of the Chint Group, Zhengtai Group. a major Chinese multinational holding company founded in 1984 with headquarters in Zhengjiang, China. The 140-acre site combines solar generation with a battery energy storage system and would deliver enough electricity to power 18,000 homes each year. Its sale was completed at the end of 2025. A price has not been revealed. Mark Van Ryn, UK County Manager at Chint Solar, said, "Acquiring Birkut Energy Park underlines our commitment to develop and realise multi-technology assets in the United Kingdom that ensure a reliable, future-proof grid. We would like to thank Ethical Power for the smooth collaboration and mutual trust during the acquisition process. All planning permissions are in place and Chint Solar will now move the project through construction. Grid connection is expected in 2027. The site is the first in England to be designated as a grey belt development under new national planning policies."
Hello, I'm Sue. Police detective in court. A serving police officer has appeared in court charged with multiple criminal offences, including strangulation. Detective Sergeant Carl Routh, age 48, of Thames Valley Police, faces one count of engaging in controlling and coercive behaviour and two counts of intentional strangulation. A woman who cannot be identified for legal reasons experienced bruising to her body and an incident in which she was threatened with a knife. The alleged offences took place between January the 31st, 2024 and October the 7th, 2025. He appeared at Luton Magistrates Court on Thursday the 27th of August, 2026 and was released on conditional bail.
Multiple arrests. There were multiple arrests and vehicles seized during a recent Oxford Roads police operation. Thames Valley Police has arrested two people for theft offences and seized five vehicles after the road safety operation. A spokesman said the roads policing team recently carried out a road safety operation in Oxford as part of our ongoing Fatal Five enforcement campaign.
School moves into its new home as pupils start year, and this article is accompanied by a sunny photograph of the actual opening day with everybody walking in. Primary school pupils and staff have moved into a new building as part of a major relocation project. St Nicholas Church of England Primary School in Wallingford arrived at a new site on Gatehouse Crescent, part of the Highcroft development, in time for the start of the school year. Amy King, head teacher at St Nicholas, said the new building will further enhance all that we do as a school. While the new facilities will greatly expand our educational offering, we're proud to say that our ethos and values, which have served our school so well for generations, remain the same. This is about how we can further support our community and help shape how we support more local children to find their talents and passions for generations to come. Commemorative brick was laid to mark the occasion. The relocation project, as partnership between Oxfordshire County Council and the Oxford Diocesan Board of Education, with Morgan Singdall serving as the principal contractor. Barclay Homes, developer of the Highcroft site, contributed £4.95 million to primary education as part of its planning agreement with Oxfordshire County Council. The council is fully funding the relocation project. The new building will allow St Nicholas to expand from an infant school to a full primary school, including a 39-place nursery. In addition to its current provision for nursery, reception, and years 1 and 2, the school has welcomed a year 3 cohort. It will then add years 4, 5, and 6 over the next 3 years. Stephen Cohen, Managing Director at Barclay, said, "Barclay is honoured to have St Nicholas School opening its new buildings within Highcroft. Having a school on the development ensures that the children of our homeowners have access to education right on their doorstep and builds on our already thriving community. More information about St Nicholas CE Primary School is available at www.stnicholas.uk.
Council launches Fight Over Appeal. Wallingford Town Council has launched a fundraiser to fund the £25,500 legal costs in the fight against the major planning appeal for hundreds of new homes in the town. The unpopular application from Crudais Homes to build 480 new homes north of Wallingford off Shillingford Road was appealed by the developer after being rejected by South Oxfordshire District Council in April this year. The plans, which included 400 houses plus 80 retirement homes, open space, leisure and sports facilities, received more than 1,100 objections while it was under consideration with the council and caused a campaign group called Love Wallingford Stop the Sprawl to form to counter it. Now heading to a public inquiry for a planning inspector to determine whether the house building should be allowed to go ahead, the town is rallying again to oppose the scheme. Wallingford Town Council has been granted Rule 6 party status for inquiry, giving it the power to submit evidence, question witnesses and present its case to the inspector. A spokesperson for the council described it as an important step to making sure the residents of the town are fully represented, but comes with hefty legal costs. Having already pledged £15,000 from available public funds towards preparing for the inquiry and paying for professional representation, the council is now calling on the community to help raise a further £10,500. A fundraiser has been launched to bridge the shortfall of the total £25,500 costs. A spokesman for Wallingford Town Council said, "The council has already made a significant financial commitment because we believe it is important that Wallingford and the surrounding communities are properly represented at this inquiry. We have been very encouraged by the initial response to the crowdfunder and are extremely grateful to everyone who has donated or shared the campaign so far. However, we still have a significant funding gap to close. Whether someone can contribute £10, £25, £50 or more, every donation will help us secure the professional expertise needed to put forward the strongest possible, properly evidenced case. We recognise that there are different views about the proposed development. The campaign is about ensuring that the evidence and concerns of the communities affected can properly be heard and considered through the appeal process. Together we can make sure Wallingford's voice is heard. Concerns relating to the major housing development include traffic and transport, pressure on local infrastructure and services like school places, healthcare provision and public transport, plus impacts on the landscape, biodiversity and recreational provision. The Town Council is hoping to have the fundraising shortfall in place by November this year, with evidence gathering and preparation of their case already underway.
Parking spaces replaced by EV bays despite reservations. Regular parking places are being replaced by electric vehicle-only charging bays after the approval of restrictions at 11 Oxfordshire locations. At a council meeting, the transport officer Gareth Epps gave the green light to the creation of charging bays amid a £4 million government-funded scheme to install 1,500 public chargers on street and in car parks across the county. The plans have been met with concern about the loss of parking for non-electric vehicles and fears about obstruction for pedestrians and significant objection at a consultation. Not all the proposed bays have been approved, and Mr. Epps has deferred some to enable further discussion. Two have been refused and put on conditions on and put in place conditions on four of his approvals. Council officers explained that at least four chargers should be installed at each location to meet the business case for the contractor connected curb due to the cost of creating the grid connection. Bays across Oxford, Berrinfield, Burford and Henley were approved outright, and further spaces in Oxford and Kidlington were greenlit with conditions. Plans at Deddington were deferred due to the area being Mr. Epps' ward, and Bampton, Shrivenham, Headington and Whitney were deferred amid community concerns. Carterton and Aynsham have proposed bays have been refused. At the meeting, the Transport Chief said there were over 1,000 pages of consultation responses and reports on the issue. Alison Hill spoke on behalf of the Coalition for Healthy Streets and Summertown and St Margaret's Neighbourhood Forum and called for consideration of the installations as obstacles on pavements, asking the Council to consider whether charges should be put where they do not cause obstruction to people. The group agreed with some of the planned bays as long as the pavement remains 2 metres wide.
The King's Award given to Bunkfest volunteers, and this article is accompanied by quite a few pictures of the Bunkfest going on at the weekend we've just had. The King's Award for Voluntary Service was presented to Bunkfest volunteers in the Wallingford Festival's 22nd successful year of music and fun in the town. The latest instalment of the popular free music festival was one of the biggest yet and dedicated to the volunteers that make it happen. A voluntary committee organised the massive show each year, which this year involved more than 170 musical acts performing over 3 days, and more than 700 volunteers signed up for shifts. Announced earlier this year, the King's Award for Voluntary Service, which is the highest award given to voluntary groups in the UK, an equivalent to an individual's MBE, was presented to the volunteers on Sunday afternoon at the weekend's festival. A statement from Bunkfest organisers said, "The Lord Lieutenant of Oxfordshire presented the King's Award for Voluntary Service to Bunkfest for providing a free, access for all annual music festival in Wallingford entirely run by volunteers. Equivalent to an MBE, the King's Award is the highest given to local voluntary groups in the UK, and they are awarded for life. This award is for every volunteer in every role since 2002. Bunkfest could not happen without you. Thank you all." As well as celebrating its volunteers, the festival provided another packed schedule of music, dance and entertainment on the Kinecroft, the Ballcroft and at venues across the town. And we have a picture of the Lord Lieutenant on the stage, and I can see Colin Dalton, who is the last remaining member of the four who started Bunkfest in 2002.
Holmes Firm backs village celebration. A house builder has helped bring a community together by supporting a popular village event. David Wilson Holmes donated £250 to the Benson Community Celebration organised by Benson Parish Council. The event held near the developer's Chawton Grange site in South Oxfordshire attracted more than 800 attendees and celebrated the people and organisations that contribute to village life. Layla Johnston of Benson Parish Council said, "On behalf of the Parish Council, I would like to extend our sincere thanks to David Wilson Holmes for the donation towards the Benson Community Celebration. Thanks to David Wilson Holmes' contribution, we will be able to offer the community complimentary refreshments, which was a great boost. We also used the money to produce some large banners, which were strategically placed around the village to advertise the event. The celebration was part of the National Million Acts of Hope campaign and gave residents a chance to learn about clubs, charities and activities in Benson. Visitors took part in taster sessions, tennis games, a nature walk, and other family-friendly attractions while meeting local volunteers and community groups. It also included Benson Parish Council's annual parish meeting in an informal exhibition format.
MP joins fight to save the town's polluted stream. The MP for Wallingford said he plans to stop the pollution as he joins the fight to save the town's polluted Millbrook waterway, which has been described as effectively dead. Ollie Glubber, MP for Didcot and Wantage, joined a field trip of town, county and district councillors, representatives of the Environment Agency and Thames Water, and local stakeholders on a trip to visit the historic stream. As little as 50 years ago, residents in Wallingford could paddle, fish and play in the Chalkbread stream, which starts in Blueberry, but are today dismayed to find it a dumping ground for pollution, rubbish and sewage. The situation reached a tipping point in February when Wallingford residents complained of awful smells, clouds of flies and white foam on the surface between Firtree Avenue and the sports park. And Environment Agency staff confirmed the presence of sewage fungus in the stream. A group of locals set up the Wallingford Millbrook Restoration Group to try and revive it, and Mr. Glover visited in July to see the condition of the stream and agreed to set up a visit with multiple organisations responsible for its maintenance. Campaigners were heartened by the productive meeting held on the 27th of August, which saw a collaborative effort to establish and a sustainable future for the stream. Mike Akerman, leader of the campaign to restore Millbrook, said it was good to hear a positive attitude from everybody to work together for the common cause. The situation is complex, with no easy solutions, but the commitment is a great start. We're buzzing with excitement, anticipation that this will be the turning point that will lead to the restoration of the Millbrook. Mr. Glover added, I'm grateful for the representatives from our local councils, Thames Water, the Environment Agency, the Restoration Group and the Wallingford Town Council for giving their time to discuss restoring Millbrook. It was a productive meeting where the need for action was recognised by all members and tangible next steps were promised in response. I shall continue to push these responsible to support the restoration of our valued brook, identify the pollution sources and stop the pollution entering. And there are several photographs showing the disgusting state of the stream.
Calls for tougher water rules after sewage spills. New data has revealed water companies discharge sewage into England's waters for more than 43,000 hours in July and August. The figures released by campaigners Surface Against Sewage show more than 2,000 hours, or about 2.5 months, of sewage was dumped into designated bathing waters. The August bank holiday alone saw sewage discharged into bathing waters for the equivalent of 34 days. The data comes after Oxford's one designated water site, bathing water site, Wolvercote Mill Stream, received a poor ranking for the fourth year in a row. Risks such as poor water quality, submerged objects, strong currents and cold water shock all make wild swimming dangerous. The Environment Agency samples the water weekly, testing for intestinal, enterococci and E. coli. In the last 48 hours, Thames Water has recorded discharges into Farringdon Stream. This storm overflow could mean sewage has found its way into the stream. Water companies are allowed to spill sewage into rivers and seas during heavy rainfall. Over the summer, 290 sewage alerts were issued through the SAS's Safer Seas and Rivers service app. Nearly 85% of these alerts were for designated bathing waters rated as having good or excellent water quality by the Environment Agency.
Public invited to Oxford Health Annual Meeting. Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust has announced the date for its annual meeting. The annual members meeting, AMM, and annual general meeting, AGM, will take place on Thursday, September the 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Voco Oxford Spires Hotel, Abingdon Road, Oxford. It is an opportunity for the public to engage with the Trust, hear presentations on accessing urgent mental health services in Oxfordshire and learn about delivering care at home. The meeting will also feature the presentation of the Trust's annual report and accounts, providing insight into the organisation's performance over the past year. Doors will open at 5 p.m, allowing attendees to visit information stalls run by the Trust teams.
Memorial Award Launch. Nominations have opened for an award recognising outstanding contributions to supporting victims of domestic abuse. The John Latham Award, relaunched this year by Thames Valley Police, honours individuals in Oxfordshire, Berkshire and Buckinghamshire who have made a significant impact in preventing harm, supporting victims or improving outcomes for those affected by domestic abuse. Detective Chief Superintendent Lee Barnum said John Latham was hugely influential in the field of domestic abuse. His pioneering work led to a meaningful change and has helped shape the way agencies respond to the domestic abuse related deaths today. Although there is no website, anybody who wishes to make a recommendation should write to Chief Superintendent Barnum at Thames Valley Police Headquarters.
Country rock acts join forces for concert, and there's a picture of the group of four people. Two acclaimed Americana acts are joining forces for a co-headline tour. Brooklyn's The Annie Keating Band and Oxfordshire's The Dreaming Spires will share the stage in a showdown of transatlantic country rock and Americana as part of their nationwide tour. A show has been arranged for Friday, October the 9th at the Snug Barn, Wallingford. And the doubles bills aims to showcase 25 years of songwriting and musical storytelling. The Dreaming Spires debut album, Brothers in Brooklyn, was inspired by time spent in Keating's home borough, while Annie Keating has become a staple of the contemporary Americana scene in the UK, championed by the legendary Bob Harris. Since Dreaming Spires drummer Jamie Dawson also tours as part of the Annie Keating band, the musical chemistry should be seamless. The Dreaming Spires' Robin and Joe Bennett will bring their trademark sibling harmonies and melodic jangle, while Keating will deliver her signature gritty folk rock alongside bandmates Joe Coombs and Scott Warman.
Donkey crowned supreme champion. A donkey has been crowned supreme champion at a national competition after being named top British gelding for the fifth year in a row. Island Farm Viscount is a 13-year-old gelding from Island Farm Donkey Sanctuary in Brightwell-cum-Sotwell near Wallingford. He took the top title at the 2026 Donkey Breed Society National Championship Show held on August the 22nd at Pickering Grange Equestrian Centre in Colville. He is the offspring of East Lodge Bryony, a donkey left to the sanctuary by the late Alex and Sue Horne. Mr. Horn was a respected figure in donkey showing and won numerous awards during his lifetime. Viking has built up an impressive record of his own with championship wins at the Mid-Somerset Show and the New Forest and Hampshire Show. He was named reserve champion at the Ellingham and Ringwood Show, placing just behind stablemate Peer Here Magical Moments. Both donkeys qualified for the national finals, where Viscount claimed the senior gelding class and went on to be named British champion gelding for the fifth year in a row. Now, strangely enough, there's a picture of Peer Hill Magical Moments sporting a very pretty blue rosette, and there's a magnificent cup being held by a lady in a very nice hat.
Pub operator posts strong sales increase, but profit stays flat. A county pub chain has seen a strong sales increase. WH Breakspeare from Henley reported a notable rise in sales in 2025, driven largely by the expansion of its managed Honeycomb House division. However, heightened investment, refinancing costs and acquisition-related charges meant the operating profit remained stable. Breakspeare operates numerous pubs in Oxfordshire, including Henley, Wallingford, Nettlebed, as well as Banbury. The company saw its turnover climb by 16% to £47.9 million, up from £41.3 million the previous year. This follows a 7% growth in 2024. Despite the increased sales, operating profit was essentially flat at 7.2 million, and the operating margin dipping from approximately 17.4% to 15%. Breakspeare's EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation and amortization, before exceptional items, increased to 11.7 million, a rise of around 4%, depending on the measure cited. However, the company's cash reserves dwindled by 1.9 million to 7.5 million due to the increased capital spending and pub acquisitions. The leased and tenanted arm of the business saw a 5% rise in turnover, while the Honeycomb Houses division experienced a 23% surge in sales.
More schools to become phone-free. More than two dozen schools in the local area will become mobile-free zones under a new scheme. 30 secondary schools across Oxfordshire and the Thames Valley region will receive a share of £254,000 from Thames Valley Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Barber to remove mobile phones from the school day. The funding, announced in June, comes from the Phone Free Schools Fund, an initiative aimed at improving learning environments and safeguarding pupils by reducing access to mobile phones during school hours. Matthew Barber, Thames Valley Police and Crime Commissioner, said, "I'm delighted to be supporting 30 local secondary schools in implementing phone-free solutions, taking money from criminals and reinvesting it back into the community. Creating phone-free environments in schools is not just about academic attainment. It supports safeguarding of our young people, reduces opportunity for antisocial behaviour, and helps decrease the potential for young people to become involved in or victims of more serious crimes, including exploitation. Schools will be able to choose their own secure storage solutions, whether lockable pouches, lockers, or boxes, ensuring phones remain inaccessible during the school day, except in emergencies. This approach allows pupils to retain their phones for travel and to and from school."
South Oxfordshire and Vale locals urged not to lose their vote. Residents are being urged to check their voter registration details to avoid losing their right to vote. More than 88,000 households across South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse are being contacted as part of the annual voter registration canvas, which ensures the electoral register is accurate and up to date. The process also helps identify anyone who may be at risk of missing out on future elections and encourages them to register before it is too late. Susan Baker, Deputy Electoral Registration Officer at South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District Council, said, "The annual canvass helps to ensure that the electoral information we have for every address is accurate and up to date. To make sure you don't lose your say in any upcoming elections, simply follow the instructions sent to you. If someone responds to the email, it also saves the public money, as we don't have to follow up by sending a letter to their property. Residents who receive a voter registration canvass email are being asked to reply as soon as possible to confirm or update their household information. Each household only needs to respond once, even if multiple people receive the email. The email will be sent from a different, longer address, electoral.services.south.oxfordshire.vale.of.whitehorse.district.council@notifications.service.gov.uk. Residents who have recently moved are especially encouraged to check their details.
Crews tackle a fire at a farm. Locals in Oxfordshire have been warned after a large smoke plume rose from a fire near Stadhampton recently. Firefighters spent the night battling a blaze at the farm building after hay bales caught fire. Six crews were sent to the scene off the B480 at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, September the 6th. A warning from the Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service said due to the ongoing incident in the Chelgrove area, a large smoke plume is drifting in the direction of Little Milton, and we advise everybody to keep their doors and windows closed. On arrival, the crews worked with local farmers at the site to establish a fire break to stop the flames spreading to nearby hay bales.
Woman chased. Police are appealing for witnesses after a woman was chased by a male down a residential street in Oxfordshire. Thames Valley Police South Oxon and Vale of Whitehorse issued the urgent witness appeal for the following incident. Reports were made to the police that a male had been seen chasing a female along Wantage Road in Wallingford on Saturday, September the 5th at around 8 p.m.
National Trust is offering free entry to historic sites. The National Trust is offering free entry to several historic properties across Oxfordshire and neighbouring counties this month. As part of England's Heritage Open Day Festival, the National Trust is joining thousands of organisations nationwide to provide people with the chance to explore stories, historic sites and local heritage. From September the 11th to the 20th, people of all ages can connect with their local area, discover new places and learn short about the stories that have shaped the county. Louise Walker, General Manager of National Trust Huendon, said, "Heritage Open Days is a fantastic opportunity for people to discover the incredible history on their doorstep. Whether you're passionate about local heritage or simply looking for a free day out with family and friends, there's something for everyone. This year's theme, Everyday Histories, encourages us to celebrate the stories of ordinary people whose lives have shaped the places we know and love today. Grays Court near Henley will offer free entry from September the 14th to 16th. Visitors can witness a live archaeological excavation on the top lawn and chat with the team. Chastleton, a Jacobean house in West Oxfordshire, will be open for free on September the 19th. The house contains nationally significant textiles, rare Jacobite glass and family portraits. In Buckinghamshire, Huendon Manor will offer free entry from September the 11th to the 20th. The estate, once home to Queen Victoria's favourite Prime Minister, Benjamin Disraeli, played a significant role as a top secret map-making operation during World War II. Visitors can also view Buckinghamshire's artist and maker's work during the Heritage Open Days. Stowe Gardens will open its 250 acres of landscape gardens for free from September the 11th to the 20th. And on September the 19th and 20th, visitors can explore the iconic Gothel Temple, Stowe's Parish Church, Temple of Concord and Victory, and Dido's Cave. Clifden near Maidenhead will offer free entry from September the 14th to the 18th. The estate features grand gardens and woodlands with a programme of tours and walks of hidden Clifden, history, gardens, photography, chapel, collections and conservation. And there's a very agreeable picture of the Grays Court.
Green leader visits scene of field fire. The Green Party leader, Zach Polanski, says he's looking at a dystopian future on a visit to an Oxfordshire green space decimated by a wildfire. The politician visited Goring Heath, where a wildfire blazed for several hours, and called for greatest protections for the environment. The fire broke out on the 27th of July, destroying a field and spreading into a nearby wooded area, destroying a barn and a vehicle belonging to the operator. Mr. Polanski chose South Oxfordshire site as the setting for a video he released to depict what he described as climate failure. Speaking to the camera, he said, "I'm standing at the edge of a wood somewhere where people normally walk their dogs, breathe fresh air and take in nature. Today, there is a deep stench of ash and I'm looking at a pretty dystopian future as habitats and local businesses have been decimated." He described the wave of infernos which have swept the UK this summer and left a trail of destruction behind them. In Oxfordshire alone, firefighters were exhausted and relentless fires which blazed on green and brownfield sites from school fields to farmers' crops, landfill sites, parks and forests.
UK air guitar scene revived by local dad who quit the booze. And this is accompanied by a very jolly photograph of Mr. Piers Burnell. Britain's air guitar scene was being revived by an Oxfordshire dad who took up the hobby to prove that he could have fun without booze. Piers Burnell, 54, decided to take up shredding in 2018 after going sober. The former education worker from Henley has since represented the nation twice at the World Air Guitar Championships held in Finland. And realising that the scene in the UK was a bit lacklustre this year, he decided to restart the national championships, which had disappeared during the pandemic. He hosted the contest on June the 27th in London, where six finalists took part, three of whom had never tried the sport before. Mr. Burnell said, "Air guitar is something I really enjoy. I just thought it was a great opportunity to try and build something in the UK and develop it to be more than a bit of fun. It was challenging to get people to come and watch. I'm hoping now that we've done it this year, next year there will be more interest. There isn't that pressure of telling the best jokes or learning lines. You can just be silent and perform." The UK event contest consists of two rounds, one where you pick your own song and a second which is an improvisation to a song of Mr. Burnell's choice. Sam Nicoresti, a stand-up comedian, was crowned the winner after her performance of Eruption by Van Halen. She will represent the UK at the International Championship in Finland on August the 28th with travel and accommodation costs covered by Piers for the 30th anniversary of the contest. The judging panel for the competition included the press counsellor for the Finnish embassy, an aerial gymnast, the French air guitar champion and an international fan favourite. British Olympic gold medalist figure skater Robin Cousins was also on the panel after Piers wrote to him about how the air guitar judging system is loosely based on the sport. Piers also performed but did not compete during the national anthem before stripping off his clothes to reveal a kilt under his trousers. He said the judges felt Sam had great energy, good technique and airness, which is the extra bit of magic. She just totally embraced it and blew the judges away. Piers will also head to Finland for the worldwide contest, competing in the qualifiers as the joke air based on the DC character. This will be his third one, having first performed as the sober man to a Motorhead song, which he says was pure instinct. The following year, he performed as James Bond 007, a persona which now gets booked for parties. He said that each performer gets 1 minute to stun the audience and the competition is great fun. Piers said, "I entered the World Championship as a lucky dip in 2024. I didn't know anything about it or have any expectations." I would just like to add that this is not April the 1st, and this is one of the most curious articles I have ever read on reading newspaper for the blind.
Foundation Trust appoints new chief exec. Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust has appointed a new chief executive. Dr. Michael Holland, a clinician and experienced NHS leader, took up the role on Monday, the 7th of September, following his previous position at North London NHS Foundation Trust. He will lead Oxford Health in delivering community, mental health and learning disability services across Oxfordshire, Buckinghamshire, Swindon, Wiltshire and neighbouring areas. Dr. Holland said, "I am thrilled to be joining Oxford Health and already have a strong sense of the passion and dedication of colleagues across the organisation. My first priority will be to listen, learn and understand what matters most to our staff, patients and partners, so I can build on the strong foundations already in place across Oxford Health. I look forward to visiting services and meeting my new colleagues over the coming months." He succeeds Grant MacDonald, who has retired following a nearly 40-year career in the NHS. Dr. Holland was selected through a highly competitive recruitment process. Andrea Young, Chair of Oxford Health, said, "I am delighted to welcome Michael to Oxford Health. His deep experience, insight and commitment to public service will be a tremendous asset to the Trust." And there is a picture of Dr. Michael Holland inset.
NHS South East launches a flu vaccination drive. Pregnant women and children are being encouraged to get their flu vaccines. NHS South East has launched an annual flu vaccination program to protect those most at risk before the colder months. Caroline Reid, Director of Commissioning at NHS South East, said, "Every year, flu causes significant illness and hospital admissions, particularly amongst young children and pregnant women, which is why we're encouraging people to come forward as soon as they are invited. We know that making vaccinations easy and convenient helps improve the uptake, which is why local NHS teams across the South East will continue to develop innovative ways of bringing the vaccine closer to communities where possible, whether that's through family centres, nurseries, schools, GP practices, pharmacies or maternity services. Last year, more than 3.3 million people across the South East received their flu vaccination, giving the region the second highest uptake nationally. We want to build on that success this winter and ensure as many people as possible are protected before the flu begins to circulate widely. Flu can lead to serious complications such as pneumonia and bronchitis, especially with young children, pregnant women and those with underlying health conditions."
Oh, Oxford United at absolute best in win over Foxes, and it's accompanied this article by two footballers, with Peter Chiozzo closing down on his man at Leicester City. Aaron Ramsey believes Oxford United were at their absolute best in their 4-0 thrashing of Leicester City in League One. Oxford stormed into a second victory of the season thanks to a brace from Mark Harris and goals from 18-year-old Joe Missanga and midfielder Jamie McDonnell. Saturday's 4-goal triumph was the perfect response to a 3-1 midweek defeat at Huddersfield Town and leaves the Ewes on 7 points after 4 games. New signing Kai Andrews bagged 2 assists at his first start on loan from Coventry City, while Luke Lynch also secured an assist off the bench in his first appearance after joining on loan from Aston Villa on deadline day. It's always very difficult to come to a place like this, an away game, and win 4-0, Ramsey admitted after the game. We knew we had to be at our absolute best today, full of concentration for the 90 minutes, and we certainly did that. There were some really big performances from every single one. For us, it was a really proud performance. When I came in, I wanted us to have an identity. I wanted us to enjoy in and out of possession. I think that was evident today. We are going to enjoy these moments. Coming away from home and winning 4-0 doesn't happen every week. But like I said, I'm fully aware we're 4 games in. It's a long old season. Ramsey made 3 changes from the team that were defeated by Huddersfield. Michael Hellick, Peter Chiozzo and Andrews all came in at Leicester in place of Sam Long, Jack Curry and Tyler Goodrum, with the Ewes gaffer explaining his decisions after the game. I trust every single player in there, the Welshman continued. I'm going to rotate, but we felt like this was the best way to go and win a football game today. The way that we wanted to build, we tweaked it a little bit so that we can create some overloads in certain areas and capitalise in there on the opposite side. It was really pleasing that it came to life and then out of possession, just being really patient. And then when it came into 2 areas, being super aggressive in that press. The team were ready from the off, you could sense it. Leicester are a tough team. The way that Russell Martin sets them up is really challenging at times, and he definitely tests you. You have to be switched on throughout the whole game. They do like to try and commit and link off the striker as well and find the spearman. But I thought the boys dealt with that really, really well today. Actually, we created lots of transitional moments from it.
This is a bit more of an addition to the last article. Mo revels in his first goal for the Ewes. Oxford United winger Mo Missinger is full of confidence after bagging his first senior goal in a 4-0 win at Leicester City. The Yellows ran riot at the King Power Stadium on Saturday, 18-year-old Missanga assisting Mark Harris's first goal and scoring the team's second in a 4-goal triumph. Harris notched a second before Jamie McDonald put the cherry on top of a fruitful afternoon with his first goal for the club. The game was only Missanga's second start and 3rd appearance in total in senior football, but the winger showed no fear by making an instant impact in League One. No matter where I am, who I'm playing against, I have a lot of confidence, the Ewes Academy graduate declared after the match. Just the way I am as a person, I really enjoy playing football, so I feel like, just why not try to express myself and show the fans what I can do and try to do my best for the club. Missanga slotted his goal away in front of the travelling United fans, Coventry City loanee Cal Andrews finding the teenager in the space down the middle. Chopping onto his right foot in the box, the wide man showed a calmness beyond his years to score past experienced Leicester goalkeeper Alex McCarthy. I just thought I should try and be as composed as I can be, Missanga said. I saw the goal. It's my time to get my goal. I'm just happy to be winning. I don't know how to describe it because everyone's jumping on me. I was really happy. Obviously, I saw my family there. I said I'd score for my older brother's birthday today. Saw my little brother, so it was all good. I was really happy scoring in front of all the fans. It means a lot to me. Head coach Aaron Ramsey has shown a lot of trust in young Musanga, starting the starlet in back-to-back away games. He always told me to be positive and to express myself, said Musanga. I think that makes it easier to be able to come up here and play the best I can. So I'm really thankful for the opportunities he's given me and the rest of the staff as well, because they all believe in me.
Letter to the editor. For several years now, there's been no space for customers to write to the editor of the Herald. In this week's edition, there is an advert. Letter to the editor. Send us your letters by email to news@nqo.com or by post to 5 Kings Meadow, Ferry Hinksey Road, Osney Mead, Oxford, OX20DP. All letters and emails must include names and addresses. Anonymous letters will not be published, although these details might be withheld from publication on request if there is a strong enough reason. So, get writing.
Okay, so that concludes our recording for this week. Stay listening after this goodbye, because there's a few select tracks from the monthly magazines which you can listen to. But from everyone here recording the paper for this week, thank you for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
St Mary Lamore Church in Wallingford will offer a warm welcome at 7 p.m. on Saturday the 19th of September for a Poems, Pims and Puddings fundraising event for the Church Eco Heating Project. Entry is £5 per person, including pudding. All contributions will make a real difference. Organisers are looking for people to read poems, whether you're a seasoned performer or have never read aloud in public before. They'd love to hear from you. This is from the Benson Bulletin. Benson at War, Part 2, Autumn 1940. This account is written by Dave Rushton, a member of the Benson History Group, a part of the Bensington Society. As we have seen in a previous article, the summer and autumn of 1940 was a time when people held their breath in the face of an expected German invasion. The army was being rebuilt, retrained and re-equipped, but this would take time. To buy time, the call went out in May 1940 for men to join a new armed force, the local defence volunteers, who would fight locally. An appeal by the government for the LDV rapidly led to Colonel Bremner raising the first squad in Benson in late May 1940, when this force was quickly renamed the Home Guard in July 1940 and a full Benson platoon was formed. However, it was not just about Dad's army. A remarkable document has survived and is in our archives, reprinted in the book Benson, A Century of Change. And this document is the War Book, put together by the Benson Invasion Committee. This committee, chaired by Gerald Aldridge, represented the Home Guard, the ARP wardens, the women volunteers, the police, the fire service and medical services. The War Book listed the committee's thinking on actions from a simple air raid to a full-scale invasion. Every possible scenario seems to have been considered and planned for. For security, a series of patrols were established around dawn and dusk while fire watchers stood on the alert. Equipment, from stirrup pumps for extinguishing fires through to cycles for communications, locations of stretchers through to digging tools were all listed with their locations. Provision of essential services such as food, water, medical, lighting, heating and sanitation, first aid posts, food kitchens and billeting were all planned for. It laid out a chain of responsibility so everyone knew who was doing what, where and when. The war book paints a picture of a village totally committed to a task and highly organised. They planned for all contingencies, allocating fields for sanitation and burial of the expected dead. They planned for the homeless and for emergency rescue squads. Everyone seemed to play a part, be it ever so humble. A remarkable book, recording remarkable work by very ordinary people. Thankfully, their work was never really needed. And the article is accompanied by a photo of the Home Guard, all dressed in uniform and wearing their hats, 23 of them. Winning Hand. Lucy Worsley tells Liz Nichols the surprising stories behind our monarchy ahead of the publication of her new book, Queens and Kings, and her talk at Henley Literary Festival. History isn't really about the past at all, says Lucy Worsley. It's a way of investigating and reflecting on who we are today. Whether she's unravelling royal scandals on TV, investigating historical mysteries, or breathing life into centuries-old stories, Lucy has become one of Britain's best-loved historians. And before the palaces, best-selling books and television documentaries, there was a Berkshire schoolgirl imagining what it might be like to live in the past. Lucy remembers standing at Reading's ruined abbey with her brother in what they called the Lion Park, imagining the lives that had unfolded among its ruins. She also attended the abbey school, where teachers repeatedly reminded pupils of one particularly illustrious former student, Jane Austen. I didn't know who Jane Austen was back then, says Lucy, but she went on to play an enormous part in my life as I became her biographer. It's a childhood encounter whose significance only became clear decades later. Lucy's love of history was flourishing at school, where she remembers lessons as a joy, never a chore. One teacher in particular made an impression. Miss Darcy taught Lucy about the Industrial Revolution, while simultaneously being excitingly and urgently summoned to the telephone to organise a teacher's strike. I believe she has a first name, but she'll always be Miss Darcy to me, Lucy laughs. This passion grew into a vocation, although not without a slight detour. Having started out studying science A-levels, Lucy realised she'd made the wrong choice and changed midstream, which caused various upsets. After that, though, I was clear what I wanted to do and went at trying to become a historian like an exocet missile. I know how fortunate I am to have had a vocation. Some people never find out what they want to do. More than three decades later, this vocation has taken Lucy from museums and historic buildings to our TV screens and radios, writing several best-selling biographies. Her latest book, Queens and Kings, An Unusually Personal History, which is published on the 3rd of September, draws on more than 20 years of chief curator of historic royal palaces, working behind the scenes at Hampton Court Palace and the Tower of London, even living within one of the palaces herself. Lucy believes the secret to getting people interested is a story, followed by the willingness to question it. I like to use exciting, addictive stories to hook people in, and then to take the very same stories apart to show that narrative is a dangerously seductive and tricksy thing, she says. I'm always destroying people's cherished illusions about the past. I'm very mean like that. Queens and Kings takes readers into the private lives of Britain's monarchs, familiar figures including Henry VIII, Anne Boleyn, Queen Victoria, and Elizabeth II appear alongside surprising details and people whose stories are often overlooked. Women have traditionally been left out of the story, she says. All my career, I felt an itch to put that right. Cholsey Repair Cafe is back at Cholsey Pavilion from 10 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. on Saturday, the 19th of September. Volunteers will help you attempt repairs to a wide range of household items, bikes, gardening equipment, and electrical goods, white goods excepted. No charge, donations welcome. Cholsey Repair Cafe has got its own website.